Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. My friends, another great day to be alive. This is Paul Hutchings dialing in from beautiful Southeast Idaho. Excited to be on the line with each of you, my friends. Excited to be starting my day off right with positive, passionate people who are dialing in from various locations throughout the world, who are coming together to lift each other up, to inspire each other, and to study and live on an even deeper level the philosophy of success, the principles of achievement, the ideas and the truths that were organized and laid down for us by Dr. Napoleon Hill. My friends, these ideas make all the difference, and I'm excited today that we can come together and study them and learn them on an even deeper level. And we're going to be talking about something really interesting today, something that all of us deal with, have dealt with, maybe even are still dealing with, right? And it's fear. We're going to jump into the chapter today on fear, something that that I'm excited to learn more about, something I'm excited to search my soul a little bit about, you know, and just see if I've got some of these six ghosts of fear still lurking there somewhere, still holding me back somewhere, so that I can find, identify, understand, and eliminate, and move forward in life with more confidence, move forward in life with more passion, move forward in life with more power, right? These fears hold us back, and you know, it's been said that faith and fear cannot exist in the same body. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to take these fears, get rid of them, and replace them with faith so that we can move forward in the power that we are meant to move forward in, my friends. And that is an exciting thing. If it excites you, I want to hear you on this Wednesday morning. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines, my friends. And listen, if you're excited about life, if you're excited about freedom, if you're excited about personal choice, if you're excited about doing something today that can help you move just a little bit closer to your dream, to your ideal, your worthy ideal, your better future, your destination, you know, that vision you've got for yourself down the road that I know you're working towards, my friend, if that excites you, go ahead and let us know how excited you are when I unmute the phones right now. I cannot help but get a big smile on my face when I hear that sound. I just, you know, gosh, you guys just, you make me smile, and you give me energy, and you give me hope, and you help me, you just help me on a daily basis realize that, you know, that life is good, and we're surrounded by great people who are focusing on good things in life, and who are working on, you know, who would have thought that hundreds of people could come together on a morning call in different companies, even in different industries, come together on a morning call, gather together, and stay together for as long as we've been together. We've been doing this call for over 3 years now, and who would have thought, you know, that hundreds of people would get on a little phone call in the morning with the intention of learning how to become better. Right? Does that not inspire you? It inspires me, right, to just think how many great people there are in the world who want more, who want to do more, who want to be more, who want to learn how to have more integrity, and want to learn how to go the extra mile a little bit better, and want to learn how to live the golden rule a little bit better, and want to learn how to provide more value to the marketplace, and just want to become better. Gosh, that thought alone inspires me. You inspire me. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. I needed that this morning. So thank you, my friends. Thank you, my friends. Hey, one quick idea, and then we're going to jump into our read for the day. You know, one of the things that we do in the business that I'm in, we have these commitments that we follow, right? And one of them is to read for 30 minutes a day. And another is to listen to an audio for 30 minutes a day. And I've been kind of in the habit of doing this for quite a long time. Since I first got in the home business profession, I, you know, my very first network marketing company had a recommended reading list. And that was when I was introduced to reading, believe it or not. I was, gosh, how old was I? I was probably, 25 years old. And yeah, I mean, I knew how to read. I knew how to read. They taught me when I was a little kid. But for whatever reason, I hadn't developed a love for reading. I knew how to read. I did enough of it to get me through school. I did enough of it to get me through college. But I hadn't developed a love for reading. I hadn't begun to understand that reading a good book is like opening a door to a whole different world, to a whole different room, to a whole different life. Reading a good book is like being in a dark room, opening up the door and letting the sun shine through the door. I didn't know that. And my first network marketing company had this recommended reading list. I remember starting to read these books. One of them was Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And gosh, I remember reading that book, right, about this man who was put in a Nazi death camp, separated from his family. His wife and daughter were actually killed by the Nazis, and he's in this death camp, right, where he's seeing the work of death and torture and destruction and suffering being spread all around him. And I remember reading this book and getting inside his mind and hearing this man share one of the most profound lessons that I'd ever heard in my life, and that is, he says, the one thing that they could never take away from you, he said, I realize the one thing they could never take, they could take away my clothes, they could strip me down naked, they could take away my family, they could take away my personal belongings, they can take away my freedom to move about in the world the way that I want to move about, but he said, the one thing they can never take away is the ability that I have to choose my thoughts and my attitude in any given set of circumstances. Coming from a man in a Nazi death camp, seeing his peers dying around him, starving, right? Him suffering. And he said, I realized that the one human freedom that they could never take from me is the ability that I have to choose my thoughts and choose my attitude in any given set of circumstance. It brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. And I read that book. It was on that very first recommended reading list back in 2005 when I got in the network marketing profession. I remember reading the book. I was sitting in my single-wide trailer house, because that's where I started, right? In a single-wide trailer house, reading this book, having my mind opened up, having a new idea put in my soul that poured a little bit of light inside of me and made me want more, right? Started this hunger for wanting more. So this reading for 30 minutes a day is something that's important, and audios for 30 minutes a day is something that's important. Talk about audios a lot. You know, some of my favorite audios I mentioned from time to time, The Art of Exceptional Living by Jim Rohn. Man, if you don't have that audio, my friend, I'm telling you, you'll be doing yourself one of the biggest favors you've ever done yourself. Go out and get that audio, The Art of Exceptional Living by Jim Rohn. That audio changed my life, continues to change my life when I listen to it from time to time, right? The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale, you can get that on the internet for free. Just do a search, right? The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale. Some of these audios that have had a profound impact on my life, right? So reading for 30 minutes a day, listening to audios for 30 minutes a day, really, really, really important. And this morning, right before I got on the call, I just had this little idea. For myself, I'm coming up with what I'm calling the 30-30-30 for 30 plan. And what I'm doing is I'm setting a goal for myself to every day without fail read for 30 minutes a day, listen to 30 minutes of audio, and meditate for 30 minutes. Meditate, pray, plan, ponder, right? Whatever you want to put in that reflection, right? That third block of visualizing yourself as you intend to become, like we learn in Think and Grow Rich and we learn in Psycho-Cybernetics. So 30, 30, 30 for 30. And that last 30 is 30 days. So I pulled up my calendar, April 19th, set a new goal for myself. I'm going to follow the 30, 30, 30 for 30 plan, and I'm going to set up just these, I'm going to strengthen these habits. I'm going to solidify them. I'm going to make sure that I do them every single day so that they become a habit. And in this meditation, you know, it's definitely something I need to work on. So 30, 30, 30 for 30 plan, my friends. If you're not reading for 30 minutes a day or listening to audios for 30 minutes a day or meditating for 30 minutes a day, maybe you might want to join in me with this challenge. I don't know. Seems kind of fun that we can set a new chart for our lives. We can set a new goal. We can do something different. So if you're not following those fundamental pillars of building your business and building your life, jump in with me. 30, 30, 30 for 30 plan. All right? So, my friends, let's go ahead and jump into our chapter. This is chapter 15 of the book Think and Grow Rich, entitled How to Outwit the Six Ghosts of Fear. And I'm, you know, the first fear we're going to talk about is the fear of poverty. And I'm not sure I completely understand this fear. You know, I have questions about it. So I'm excited to together to pour our brains on this topic and see if we can really understand it the way that we're meant to understand it. So help me with this, which is, we jump into this. Take inventory of yourself as you read this closing chapter and find out how many of the ghosts are standing in your way before you can put any portion of this philosophy into successful use. Your mind must be prepared to receive it. The preparation is not difficult. It begins with study, analysis, and understanding of three enemies which you shall have to clear out. These are indecision, doubt, and fear. The sixth sense will never function while these three negatives or any of them remain in your mind. The members of this unholy trio are closely related. Where one is found, the other two are close at hand. Indecision is the seedling of fear. Remember this as you read. Indecision crystallizes into doubt. The two blend and become fear. The blending process often is slow. This is the reason why these three enemies are so dangerous. They germinate and grow without their presence being observed. The remainder of this chapter describes an end which must be attained before the philosophy as a whole can be put into practical use. It also analyzes a condition which has but lately reduced huge numbers of people to poverty, and it states a truth which must be understood by all who accumulate riches. Whether measured in terms of money or a state of mind of far greater value than money, the purpose of this chapter is to turn the spotlight of attention upon the cause and the cure of the six basic fears. The cure for fear. Wow. The cure for fear. Who else wants that? Before we can master an enemy, we must know its name, its habits, and its place of abode. As you read, analyze yourself carefully and determine which, if any, of the six common fears have attached themselves to you. Do not be deceived by the habits of these subtle enemies. Sometimes they remain hidden in the subconscious mind where they are difficult to locate and still more difficult to eliminate. The six basic fears. There are six basic fears with some combination of which every human suffers at one time or another. Most people are fortunate if they do not suffer from the entire six. Named in the order of their most common appearance, they are the fear of poverty, the fear of criticism, the fear of ill health, the fear of loss of love of someone, the fear of old age, the fear of death. All other fears are of minor importance. They can be grouped under these six headings. The prevalence of these fears, as a curse to the world, runs in cycles. For almost 6 years, while the Depression was on, we floundered in the cycle of fear of poverty. During the World War, we were in the cycle of fear of death. Just following the war, we were in the cycle of fear of ill health, as evidenced by the epidemic of disease, which spread itself all over the world. Fears are nothing more than states of mind. One state of mind is subject to control and direction. Physicians, as everyone knows, are less subject to attack by disease than ordinary laymen, for the reason that physicians do not fear disease. Physicians, without fear or hesitation, have been known to physically contact hundreds of people daily who were suffering from such contagious diseases as smallpox without becoming infected. Their immunity against the disease consisted largely, if not solely, in their absolute lack of fear. Man can create nothing which he does not first conceive in the form of an impulse of thought. Following this statement comes another of still greater importance, namely, man's thought impulses begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent, whether those thoughts are voluntary or involuntary. Thought impulses which are picked up through the ether by mere chance, thoughts which have been released by other minds, may determine one's financial, business, professional, or social destiny just as surely as do the thought impulses which one creates by intent and design. We are here laying the foundation for the presentation of a fact of great importance to the person who does not understand why some people appear to be, quote, lucky, close quote, while others of equal or greater ability, training, experience, and brain capacity seem destined to ride with misfortune. The fact may be explained by the statement that every human being has the ability to completely control his own mind. And with this control, obviously, every person may open his mind to the tramp thought impulses which are being released by other brains, or close the doors tightly and admit only thought impulses of his own choice. Nature has endowed man with absolute control over but one thing, and that is thought. This fact, coupled with the additional fact that everything which man creates begins in the form of a thought, leads one very near to the principle by which fear may be mastered. If it is true that all thought has a tendency to clothe itself in its physical equivalent, and this is true beyond any reasonable room for doubt, it is equally true that thought impulses of fear and poverty cannot be translated into terms of courage and financial gain. The people of America began to think of poverty following the Wall Street crash of 29. Slowly but surely, that mass thought was crystallized into its physical equivalent, which was known as a depression. This had to happen. It is in conformity with the laws of nature. The fear of poverty. There can be no compromise between poverty and riches. The two roads that lead to poverty and riches travel in opposite directions. If you want riches, you must refuse to accept any circumstance that leads toward poverty. The word riches is here used in its broadest sense, meaning financial, spiritual, mental, and material estates. The starting point of the path that leads to riches is desire. In Chapter 1, you received full instructions for the proper use of desire. In this chapter, on fear, you have complete instructions for preparing your mind to make practical use of desire. Here, then, is the place to give yourself a challenge, which will definitely determine how much of this philosophy you have absorbed. Here is the point at which you can turn profit and foretell accurately what the future holds in store for you. If after reading this chapter you are willing to accept poverty, you may as well make up your mind to receive poverty. This is one decision you cannot avoid. If you demand riches, determine what form and how much will be required to satisfy you. You know the road that leads to riches. You have been given a roadmap which, if followed, will keep you on that road. If you neglect to make the start or stop before you arrive, no one will be to blame but you. This responsibility is yours. No alibi will save you from accepting the responsibility if you now fail or refuse to demand riches of life, because the acceptance calls for but one thing incidentally, the only thing you can control, and that is a state of mind. A state of mind is something that one assumes. It cannot be purchased. It must be created. Fear of poverty is a state of mind, nothing else. but it is sufficient to destroy one's chances of achievement in any undertaking, a truth which became painfully evident during the Depression. This fear paralyzes the faculty of reason, destroys the faculty of imagination, kills off self-reliance, undermines enthusiasm, discourages initiative, leads to uncertainty of purpose, encourages procrastination, wipes out enthusiasm, and makes self-control an impossibility. It takes the charm from one's personality, destroys the possibility of accurate thinking, diverts concentration of effort, it masters persistence, turns the willpower into nothingness, destroys ambition, beclouds the memory, and invites failure in every conceivable form. It kills love and assassinates the finer emotions of the heart, discourages friendship, and invites disaster in 100 forms. Leads to sleeplessness, misery, and unhappiness, and all this despite the obvious truth that we live in a world of overabundance of everything the heart could desire, with nothing standing between us and our desires excepting lack of a definite purpose. The fear of poverty is, without doubt, the most destructive of the six basic fears. It has been placed at the head of the list because it is the most difficult to master. Considerable courage is required to state the truth about the origin of this fear, and still greater courage to accept the truth after it has been stated. The fear of poverty grew out of man's inherited tendency to prey upon his fellow man economically. Nearly all animals lower than man are motivated by instinct, but their capacity to think is limited. Therefore, they prey upon one another physically. Man, with his superior sense of intuition, with the capacity to think and to reason, does not eat his fellow man bodily. He gets more satisfaction out of eating him financially. Man is so avaricious that every conceivable law has been passed to safeguard him from his fellow man. Of all the ages of the world of which we know anything, the age in which we live seems to be one that is outstanding because of man's money madness. A man is considered less than the dust of the earth unless he can display a fat bank account. But if he has money, never mind how he acquired it, he is a king or a big shot. He is above the law. He rules in politics. He dominates in business. And the whole world about him bows in respect when he passes. Nothing brings man so much suffering and humility as poverty. Only those who have experienced poverty understand the full meaning of this. It is no wonder that man fears poverty. Through a long line of inherited experiences, man has learned for sure that some men cannot be trusted where matters of money and earthly possessions are concerned. This is a rather stinging indictment, the worst part of it being that it is true. The majority of marriages are motivated by the wealth possessed by one or both of the contracting parties. It is no wonder, therefore, that the divorce courts are busy. So eager is man to possess wealth that he will acquire it in whatever manner he can, through legal methods if possible, through other methods if necessary or expedient. Self-analysis may disclose weaknesses which one does not like to acknowledge. This form of examination is essential to all who demand of life more than mediocrity and poverty. Remember, as you check yourself point by point, that you are both the court and the jury, the prosecuting attorney and the attorney for the defense, and that you are the plaintiff and the defendant. Also, that you are on trial. Face the facts squarely. Ask yourself definite questions and demand direct replies. When the examination is over, you will know more about yourself. If you do not feel that you can be an impartial judge in the self-examination, call upon someone who knows you well to serve as judge while you cross-examine yourself. You are after the truth. Get it, no matter at what cost, even though it may temporarily embarrass you. The majority of people, if asked what they fear most, would reply, "I fear nothing." The reply would be inaccurate, because few people realize that they are bound handicapped, whipped spiritually and physically through some form of fear. So subtle and deeply seated is the emotion of fear that one may go through life burdened with it, never recognizing its presence. Only a courageous analysis will disclose the presence of this universal enemy. When you begin such an analysis, search deeply into your character. Here is a list of the symptoms for which you should look. Symptoms of the fear of poverty. Indifference, commonly expressed through lack of ambition, willingness to tolerate poverty, acceptance of whatever compensation life may offer without protest, mental and physical laziness, lack of initiative, imagination, enthusiasm, and self-control. Indecision, the habit of permitting others to do one's thinking, staying on the fence. Doubt, generally expressed through alibis and excuses designed to cover up, explain away, or apologize for one's failures. Sometimes expressed in the form of envy of those who are successful or by criticizing them. Worry, usually expressed by finding fault with others. A tendency to spend beyond one's income. Neglect of personal appearance, scowling and frowning, intemperance in the use of alcoholic drink, sometimes through the use of narcotics, nervousness, lack of poise, self-confidence, and lack of self-reliance. Overcaution, the habit of looking for the negative side of every circumstance, thinking and talking of possible failure instead of concentrating on the means of succeeding. Knowing all the roads to disaster, but never searching for the plans to avoid failure. Waiting for, quote, the right time, close quote, to begin putting ideas and plans into action, until the waiting becomes a permanent habit. Remembering those who have failed and forgetting those who have succeeded. Seeing the hole in the donut, but overlooking the donut. Pessimism leading to indigestion, poor elimination, auto-intoxication, bad breath, and bad disposition. Procrastination, the habit of putting off until tomorrow that which should have been done last year. Spending enough time in creating alibis and excuses to have done the job. This symptom is closely related to overcaution, doubt, and worry. Refusal to accept responsibility when it can be avoided. Willingness to compromise rather than put up a stiff fight. Compromising with difficulties instead of harnessing and using them as stepping stones to advancement. Bargaining with life for a penny instead of demanding prosperity, opulence, riches, contentment, and happiness. Planning what to do if and when overtaken by failure instead of burning all bridges and making retreat impossible. Weakness of and often total lack of self-confidence, definiteness of purpose, self-control, initiative, enthusiasm, ambition, thrift, and sound reasoning ability. Expecting poverty instead of demanding riches. Association with those who accept poverty instead of seeking the company of those who demand and receive riches. Money talks. Some will ask, why did you write a book about money? Why measure riches in dollars alone? Some will believe, and rightly so, that there are other forms of riches more desirable than money. Yes, there are riches, which cannot be measured in terms of dollars. But there are millions of people who will say, give me all the money I need, and I will find everything else I want. The major reason why I wrote this book on how to get money is the fact that the world has but lately passed through an experience that left millions of men and women paralyzed with the fear of poverty. What this sort of fear does to one was well described by Westbrook Pegler in the New York World Telegram as follows, quote, money is only clamshells or metal discs or scraps of paper, and there are treasures of the heart and soul which money cannot buy. But most people, being broke, are unable to keep this in mind and sustain their spirits. When a man is down and out and on the street, unable to get any job at all, something happens to his spirit, which can be observed in the droop of his shoulders, the set of his hat, his walk and his gaze. He cannot escape a feeling of inferiority among people with regular employment, even though he knows they are definitely not his equals in character, intelligence, or ability. These people, even his friends, feel, on the other hand, a sense of superiority and regard him, perhaps unconsciously, as a casualty. He may borrow for a time, but not enough to carry on in his accustomed way, and he cannot continue to borrow very long. But borrowing in itself, when a man is borrowing merely to live, is a depressing experience. And the money lacks the power of earned money to revive his spirits. Of course, none of this applies to bums or habitual ne'er-do-wells, but only to men of normal ambitions and self-respect. Women conceal despair. Women in the same predicament must be different. We somehow do not think of women at all in considering the down-and-outers. They are scarce in the breadlines. They rarely are seen begging on the streets. They are not recognizable in crowds by the same plain signs which identify busted men. Of course, I do not mean the shuffling hags of the city streets who are the opposite number of the confirmed male bums. I mean reasonably young, decent, and intelligent women. There must be many of them, but their despair is not apparent. Maybe they kill themselves. When a man is down and out, he has time on his hands for brooding. He may travel miles to see a man about a job and discover that the job is filled, or that it is one of those jobs with no base pay but only a commission on the sale of some useless knick-knack which nobody would buy except out of pity. Turning that down, he finds himself back on the street with nowhere to go but just anywhere, so he walks and walks. He gazes into store windows at luxuries which are not for him and feels inferior and gives way to people who stop to look with an active interest. He wanders into the railroad station or puts himself down in the library to ease his legs and soak up a little heat, but that isn't looking for a job, so he gets going again. He may not know it, but his aimlessness would give him away even if the very lines of his figure did not. He may be well dressed in the clothes left over from the days when he had a steady job, but the clothes cannot disguise the droop. Money makes the difference. He sees thousands of other people, bookkeepers or clerks or chemists or wagon hands, busy at their work and envies them from the bottom of his soul. They have their independence, their self-respect, and manhood. And he simply cannot convince himself that he is a good man, too, though he argue it out and arrive at a favorable verdict hour after hour. It is just money which makes the difference in him. With a little money, he would be himself again. Some employers take the most shocking advantage of people who are down and out. The agencies hang little colored cards offering miserable wages to busted men. $12 a week, $15 a week. An $18 a week job is a plum, and anyone with a $25 a week to offer does not hang the job in front of an agency on a colored card. I have a want ad clipped from a local paper demanding a clerk, a good clean penman, to take telephone orders for a sandwich shop from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for $8 a month, not $8 a week, but $8 a month. The ad says also, state religion. Can you imagine the brutal effrontery of anyone who demands a good clean penman for 11 cents an hour inquiring into the victim's religion? But that is what busted people are offered. So, my friends, that's the fear of poverty. And, you know, obviously some great lessons in this chapter. You know, learning that money does make the difference in many cases, right? And understanding, you know, why Dr. Napoleon Hill wrote this book on how to get money. You know, the fear of poverty, I'm not going to talk for too long, but, you know, I'm just thinking, what is it? You know, what is this fear of poverty, and how does it hold us back? And I got to think, maybe back on my experience a little bit, before I started to have some success in the home business profession, I remember many, many times thinking to myself, you know, one of the desires of my heart was to quit my job, right? And, you know, obviously I'm not saying people should quit their job, but that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to quit my job. I wanted to go for my dream. I just wanted to go for it, heart and soul, put my hand to the plow and see what I could do, right? I wanted to burn my ship. And for a long time, I had that desire, but I never, ever would do it. And as I think back on why, it must have been the fear of poverty, because I kept thinking about that steady paycheck that I had coming in every 2 weeks, right? And I think about my family, and I think about how nice it was to rely on that check. And I feared, you know, could I do it? Could I make it work? It must have been that fear of poverty. And there came a point in my life when I finally said to myself, and this is kind of how I overcame that initial fear, and I may still have fear of poverty in me now that's holding me back at a different level, but this first level of the fear of poverty, what I finally did is I finally said to myself, I said, you know, if I have to live in a single wide trailer house for my entire life, I kind of faced poverty, right? I said, if I have to live in a single wide trailer house for the rest of my life, but I can have my freedom, I'm willing to do that. And so what I kind of did is I kind of looked at poverty square in the face, and I said, if this is the worst that can happen, right? If this is the worst that can happen, and in order for this to happen, I still have my freedom, I'm willing to deal with it. And that allowed me to take the steps necessary in my life to go for my dream. It was facing that poverty and saying, hey, if this is the worst that can happen to me, you know, I'm willing to take it. So that's kind of how I saw it play out in my life back then when I was working on, you know, taking the steps I needed to take to just go for my dream. But I'm anxious to hear your thoughts. You know, it's fair poverty. What is it? You know, I don't know that I understand it fully. So let's go ahead and jump into the mastermind portion of the call. Keep in mind this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community. And brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments, as we do have a lot of people that want to come out. So 1 second here. Let me unmute the line.
I'm not doing
Star
6, who's first?
And Dunedin.
Dan, go for it, man.
Wow, fear of poverty, it's a huge thing. But I tell you, I'm still into the 30-30-30-for-30 plan. I'm all about that. I love it. And one of the things that we could find from that 30-30-30 is what is it within us, deep in our subconscious, that harbors those fears of poverty? Because quite honestly, I don't have a big check coming, but I've got everything here that I possibly need to live. So, you know, it's not like I fear poverty, but I may fear other things. So we have to realize that these fears limit us from taking action. Mindset plus skill set plus performance equals results. So, hey, we can have that mindset. We can also realize that the fears beset us from our mindset and dishevel us from the ability to realize that we do have a skill set. And from that, we no longer take action. So it's almost like the prime of the equation that besets those fears. So utilizing the equation that you've set forth allows us to overcome any of those fears, and from that we can be better. Back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you,
Paul,
man.
Paul Anthony from Charlotte, North Carolina.
What's
up, Dream Big Dave?
What's going on, Paul? What's going on, Paul? What's going on this morning, man?
Good morning.
Oh, man, what's good, what's good, what's good. I'm so excited this morning. And Dr. Napoleon Hill, I love his work, man. I love his work because it's enriching my mind.
Hey, Anthony, you're kind of muffled.
Okay.
Hello? We go.
Can you hear
me?
Yeah,
that's better. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so I'm saying that the philosophy that we're going over is enriching my mind, it's enriching my life, it's enriching my family's life, and I am so thankful for this call. I am so thankful for Paul. I'm so thankful for everybody that comes out and share. And we touched upon, you know, such an important subject, and something I was actually thinking about while I was in the gym this morning is about fear. And what about these fears? And not only what about the fears, but how are our fears created? And Dr. Napoleon Hill, something that really touched me that he said, and I wanted to point it out right here and actually reiterate it. It says, fear are nothing more than a state of mind.
Hey, Anthony, we lost you, man.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah,
can you hear me?
I'm muffled again. Yeah. Read that again one more time.
Okay, so I wanted to point something out here that Dr. Napoleon Hill said.
Hey, Anthony.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, something's going on with your phone, man. You keep
Okay, muffled. Hold on. Let me step outside real quick. Hello? Can you hear me better?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so now I might have some power outside. It's still raining. I don't know. But
no, you're muffled again.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're doing something when you go to read. I don't know if
okay.
You're moving your phone or just...
Yeah, I might be walking. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I was saying here is that I wanted to point something out that Dr. Napoleon Hill said. He says, fear are nothing more than states of mind. And that excites me so much because we understand and we know that our states of mind are formed by our thoughts. So our thoughts that we perpetuate in between our thoughts actually forms our beliefs. I mean, not our beliefs, forms our habits. But in between our habits and our thoughts are beliefs. So we actually have beliefs in our actual habits, in these states of mind, so these thoughts. So we continuously perpetuate these thoughts that actually become our state of mind. And if you actually got that, you understand that the process to actually get rid of the actual states of mind, you know, the states of mind that we don't like, the states of mind of fear. And if fear is a state of mind, by that same progress as far as perpetuating our mind, becoming aware of what exactly we're thinking on a daily basis, becoming aware of what are our habits that we're doing on a daily basis. And then we understand that these two components actually form our states of mind and our character and our personality. So if we can actually start to pay attention to our actual character and then to our habits, to our thoughts, then, you know, that plan that you put out is so lovely for us to actually form new habits in our own mind and to see within our subconscious mind. So I just wanted to add that. But I thank everybody for actually listening. I thank you, Paul, for this call because it's touching my life. It's touching my family's life. And turn it back over to you.
Love it, Anthony. Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Martell from Chicago.
Yeah, hey, Martell, hey. Good morning.
Good morning, Pop. Good morning, everybody. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks.
Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh, yep.
I was going to agree with Anthony about everything. Well, I say that I believe everything is a state of mind, and I believe that the fear of poverty comes from growing up as a kid, you know. As you growing up and you going to the store with your parents and you just a little kid, you just running around and you not knowing no better, you believe you can get whatever you want and you go to pick something up and your parent might be like, no, you can't have that right now. And the feeling that that did to you was it made you feel bad. So now when you think about something that you can't get, you get a certain feeling and then you start having certain type of thoughts. So I believe the state of mind is you looking at everything that you see right in front of you as in your physical reality, and then you letting that dictate what you think or how you feel. So if somebody tell you no, that you can't get something, it's like it's really cutting you off from something and you can't get it or you feel like you can't get it, then it gives you a certain feeling. It might be feeling of poverty or poor. And nobody wants to feel bad or nobody don't want to be able to get something that they want. So when you get that certain feeling that you can't get it, I believe that's where the fear of poverty come in. It's just a certain feeling that it give you because, to be honest with you, I don't know what poverty is anymore. I thought I knew what it was. I thought poverty was not having enough, well, was not having money. But money is a state of mind. Everything is a state of mind, including fear, poverty. All of these things is a state of mind. So it's really all about, like Anthony was just saying, your perpetuating thoughts, the thoughts that you always have, it dictates what you believe and the habits that you form. And you can literally form a habit about anything. You can become addicted to anything. So become addicted to success or just have replaced poverty with a rich mind state because it's all a state of mind. And that's what I got. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome, Markell. Thank you, man. Good stuff.
Pat Simpson.
Dave. Hey, I heard Pass in there. Pass, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I'm just so happy and grateful to be able to talk to you guys. I think the fear of poverty sometimes transforms itself. When I was a young man, my mother always let us know that anything that we wanted in life, we can have. Even though my mom was a welfare mom, raising four kids, you know, when we went into the store and we couldn't buy something, she would always say, we can't buy this because this is what I didn't do as a child to prepare myself. But she also told us education was so key. But in teaching us what she taught us, she put a different fear in us. She put the fear of failure. You know, as a child, I was a straight-A student. I went from Harlem to prep school and then to college. But I always was scared to fail, you know. So as an adult, I was afraid to step out on my own, out of my just over broke, because I didn't want to fail. I've never failed anything in my life. So the fear of poverty could also turn into the fear of failure. So when I had to face myself and actually step forward, I had to say, you know, if I wanted to find my freedom, sometimes I got to fail. You know, and I'm just so happy and grateful that I found Paul, because Paul said something like I always say to myself, you know, I'm so happy God didn't make us perfect, because it always gives us something to strive for. So I'm just happy to share that with you guys. I hope you guys have a blessed day. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Bass. Appreciate you, man. Someone was coming out with... Yeah, who's that? Roy?
Rick.
Rick! Rick, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing good, man. Is this Rick Burnett?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Awesome.
I wanted to say something along the lines that Pass just said, you know, about the fear of failure and with that. You know, I just recently quit a job driving a truck, and I was making around $60,000 a year. You know, it's not the greatest. I've made more, but it's enough to put you in the comfort zone, pays the bills and that kind of thing. And, you know, I was always concentrating on the what if, you know, what if things go wrong? What if this doesn't work out? What all the negative things, you know, all the things that could possibly goof up instead of all the things that could happen good. And, you know, that was all geared to the past failures that I had in network marketing and that type of thing. You know, I'd not experienced a whole lot of success, but I had to get past all that fear of the failure, just like Pass was saying, before I could focus on the positive. And once I started doing that, and, you know, a couple of breakthroughs that I had, and my belief level rising, and, you know, you can almost, like, draw a line down a piece of paper and put all the negative stuff and what could happen, you know, what could go wrong on the left and what could go right on the right, and then burn the stuff on the left and just focus on all the good stuff that can happen on the right and have faith in it, and I think everything will work out. So, anyway, that's all I had to say about you.
Good stuff, Rick, and thanks for your example, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Cater, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Awesome call. Appreciate this stuff this morning. It's really great. And, you know, I like to talk from experience when I get on a call, just so I know some other people that can relate to me or my experience as I relate to other people on the call. Fear of poverty. It can get to the point where you start making the money. And I think that the main thing that you might have fear of, man, what if all, you know, everything, you lose everything or everything just fall out of whack? What are you going to do? But you know what I love about what we do, the mindset that we come here to grow, is that we understand, like Paul was saying, take away the money, take away everything. If we still have our mind, we can recreate the same thing over and over. Take away everything that you have right now. If you gain the skills, if you grow yourself, you grow the skill that you need, I could take away the money. You will be able to make it over. I don't care if it's going to take you a year, 2 months, whatever it's going to take you, but you have the skills to create income. You have the skills to create money. Which is-
Hold on, Kate. Cater, star 6, come back, man.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Which is so, so powerful, guys, because you understand that once you know how to create income, you know how to create money, you should have no more fear of poverty. Once you know how to grow your mind, which is what you're doing right now, coming to this call, you know, getting trained or whatever that you're doing, once you understand that, there is no more fear of that because you know how to create income. You know how to create money. As my man Marco was saying, it's a state of mind. And that, once you understand that, you go over that level. And another type of fear that I want to share real quick that really hurted me in the beginning of my career online, and really, if I can touch anyone on the line or anybody that's listening, that can be a big part of your success. I remember when I came online, and it's still being said today, and it's true, right? I've been hearing the saying that, you know what, 95% of people fail online. Only 5% of people succeed. It's true. 95% of people fell online, and when I came online, hearing that over and over from everybody, whenever I sponsored anyone in my business, I have the expectation that they're going to fail because I'm thinking, man, until I get 100 people, I will never get 5 people that will succeed. Or for the amount of work that I put in or the amount of training that I go through, most people will not go through it. And I kept on believing that, so I just stopped believing in people. But you know what? When I changed my mindset, coming to this call, and I started believing people, and I said, you know what? I will teach to my team what I do, right? I'll teach them the tools. I'll teach them the training. I'll teach them the mindset. I'll invite them to this call. I'll hope that they will get on the call. Guess what happened? Some people start to come on this call. Guess what happened? Some people start to use my tools. Some people start to use my training. Some people start to buy into my product. They start to spend more into themselves. And guess what? I start having team duplication. So my mindset starts shifting, and it started to change. Instead of believing 95% of people fail, I'm concentrating on the 5 people that's winning, and I'm trying to create winners in my surrounding. And that is so powerful, just having the fear that other people will not succeed and understand that they can succeed, but you have to shift your mindset towards them also. So with that being said, I'm excited. Thank you for everything. Back to you, Paul.
You're awesome, Cater. Love it, man. Thank you.
Hey, Paul.
John in Michigan.
Let's see. I heard Dave and then Don. I think it was Dave. Was that Dave?
Hey, Paul. This is Dream Big Dave from West Palm Beach.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I actually don't have the privilege of dialing into this call live every day, so I'm excited to be on and listening. And there's definitely a different energy that I feel when, as opposed to dialing into the replays versus being on live. It's pretty awesome, but the reason I wanted to jump out because I'm really excited about the 30, 30, 30 for 30 plan that you had laid out. I've actually started meditating last week when we were going over the chapter about I don't remember actually which one it was, but it has to do with, you mentioned that some of the most successful people, you know, one thing that they do is they meditate and they sit quiet. And so I was like, all right, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And sure enough, I did. And yesterday, I actually had a pretty cool experience where during my meditation, my mind kind of just took over. And I was visualizing a reward. The reward that I'll be rewarding myself with when I achieve my major purpose. And all of a sudden, my mind just started, it just took off, and I was interacting with people unconsciously, and it was just pretty cool. So it definitely works, and I'm excited for this 30-day plan. And with that, back to you, Paul.
Awesome. Dream Big Dave, that is awesome, brother. Thanks for sharing that experience. It really, really inspiring. Hey, Don from Michigan, hold on. Let me clear the lines for you. Don, come on out, star 6. Don from Michigan, star 6, come on out.
Paul, it's LV.
Think and Grow Rich family. How are you? Gosh, I just am so grateful for everybody being authentic. And thank you, Paul. I have been on this call since the first week of January. I wake up. I want this call. I'm so excited every day just to hop on. And I just wanted to share something real quick. That book you mentioned earlier was exactly the same book. I was listening to Dr. Wayne Dyer last night at 11 o'clock at night, and it was the same book that he had mentioned that really changed his life. And, you know, I think the vibrations, when we want to go inspire people, that we have a different level of vibration in our mind and what we draw to us. So this about the fear of failure, this is the first year I've ever been broke. I've never been broke for the last 15 years of my life. I've always made over $100,000. And you picked up the phone, Paul. You gave me a call on a Friday, the first week of January, and I have been on the call ever since. And I just want to thank everybody for just coming out and being authentic. I wanted just to share a couple things. Yesterday, the chapter that we talked about spirit, you know, I opened up the book Think and Grow, or I opened up the book The Science of Getting Rich, and I looked at the preface about Wallace Wattles, and he actually passed away when he was 51 years old. And you had mentioned about the spirit, that we don't tap into the sixth sense of our spirit until we're like 50. I'm 49 right now and never been broke, listening to my dad going, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, yesterday, my car, I needed $200 worth of work on my car, so I thought, and it ended up being $400. I'd already went to my dad, asked him for a couple, the money to get my car fixed because I needed to figure out what I'm going to do in my world and how I'm going to support my daughter. And I just want to share with you guys what happened yesterday. My car ended up being $400, and I was just like, ugh. You know, I know it's not a lot, but when I used to be making over $100,000 for the last 15 years of my life, and I went to my mailbox, you guys, last night, never go to my mailbox at night, and somebody out of the blue I don't even know who it came from, it said Dawn Weaver and my address, and then the return address was Dawn Weaver, so I was really worried about, like, what the heck is this envelope? I don't know who it was from. I opened up the envelope. This piece of paper had Jeremiah 29:11, which is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I named my dog that I rescued out from it. His name is Jeremiah. But you guys, somebody sent me $200 cash in an envelope without even, I don't even know who it's from. I don't know if it's from a church. I don't have a clue who it's from. But my whole point of telling you guys this story is that make sure that we're not, I have been in that same chapter that you just read today. Like, what am I going to do? I dress up. I go to these interviews. What am I going to do with my life? How am I going to get a job to support my child? What am I going to do? And the spirit, like this just $200 that came at the time when my car was supposed to be $200 and it ended up being $400 was just somebody walked in their spirit. And thank you for your call, Paul. Thank you for everybody being on here in the morning. I had a gentleman the other day I introduced to this call, and this is what he said to me. He said, I do not want to trade an hour in my day for a call that I, or for this call that I could have been, what, worrying about other things. And I wake up every morning for this call. I am into your 30-30-30, and I want to just back to you, Paul. Thank you, everybody. But the point I wanted to make is Wallace Wattles passed away when he was only 51. So what if he had that experience or whatever that he would have lived for 20 more years, where would it have taken us in the knowledge that we've gained from that, the Science of Getting Rich book? So back to you, everybody. I know I'm just blabbering, but I'm just like so into what everybody comes out and says, and every day I want to just speak, but I just am so just uplifted by what everybody shares. So thank you again, everybody. I appreciate this call. Back to you.
Thanks, Don. Awesome story. Appreciate that.
You call it Bob. Bob Allman.
Hey, Bob. I think Elvira was right ahead of you. Elvira, are you still
there?
I am. Thank you very much. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, everybody. I'm just sitting here and listening, and we've gone through this so many times. And you know what? When you collapse the six basic fears, you go from the bottom, from death, and you go up, they're all in the poverty. They're all leading to the poverty. And when I look back on my life, I go like, yeah, I've had all of these fears. And indeed, the fear of poverty is the culmination of all of those fears. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I go like, you know what? It comes from the lack of faith. It comes from the lack of trust. It comes from the lack of belief. And I go, that's it, because I have been in a situation where there was one or two bills that needed to be paid, and I went like, where is it coming from? And indeed, just like that lady just talking, I got money in the mail, and I went like, you know what? There was just enough, and it came just in time. So that strengthens my faith that everything is given to you, and just believe it and just hold the faith, hold the picture. That's what I wanted to add. It is so true. Believe in it, and it will come. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Elvira. Hey, Bob, real quick, man.
Sure, real quick. Success is just a decision away. The day we decide that we want success, to follow our dreams, to let go of all plan Bs, that's the day we're successful. It happens first in our mind. It takes over our feeling. It permeates everything, and it draws everything to us. That's all I want to say. Back to you, Paul. Thanks for a great call, and good morning, Think and Grow Rich Group.
Good stuff, Bob, Elvire, Don, everyone who came out. Thank you for a great call. I am uplifted. I am inspired. I am ready to jump right into the 30, 30, 30 for 30 plan, my friends. Those of you who are doing it with me, now's the time to start. Folks, thank you. Get out there. Have a great day, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.